Well, good morning. Good morning. It'll happen one time or another. I think the mic's on now, so. What? Well, good morning. So today, we are starting a new series on the Holy Spirit. And many of you are probably going, Holy Spirit? Why are we talking about the Holy Spirit? I mean, the Holy Spirit is a topic we're going to spend the next few weeks on. And the reason I feel like it's important for us to do this is because I don't think we talk about the Holy Spirit enough, right? We talk about Jesus, we talk about God, the Father, but especially within the Lutheran Church, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it probably comes to a point where it's sometimes hard for us to understand. I mean, I know that when I first became a believer at age 23, that the Holy Spirit was the hardest thing for me to grasp and understand. And even I found that even as I started as a pastor, understanding the Holy Spirit was a hard thing for me. I remember that I would sit down, and one of the most intimidating things you can do as a pastor is create a message to actually give to you guys. And I remember that when I first started doing this, especially when I was in the seminary, I used to sit down at my desk, and sometimes I'd sit there for hours and go, what am I going to say? And even as I was a pastor, I would stress over the fact that Sunday was coming, but yet I still didn't know what I was going to say. But over the years, as I've become more attuned to what happens with the Spirit, I don't get nervous anymore. I mean, there are times when maybe on Friday I still don't know what I'm going to say on Sunday. But all of a sudden, it hits me. I wake up on Saturday morning, and suddenly it just all comes out. See, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we tend to put all of this effort into ourselves and think that it's us, that we're the ones doing it all, when it's actually the Spirit that is working in us and through us. So today we're going to start talking about the Holy Spirit. And it's sort of fitting that we do it this time of the year. Why? Because anybody know what next Sunday is? Pentecost. I heard it. It's the Pentecost. So that joins right in with what we're talking about. And so let's talk about, though, why we study the Holy Spirit. Why that's something that's important. If this will work. And it's not working. So if you can go to the next slide. There we go. So first of all, the study of the Holy Spirit is called pneumatology. Pneuma, which is the Greek word for spirit. And what is it? Tology? Study, right? Study of the Spirit. And so we're going to talk about and study the Holy Spirit and what it truly means. And so we're going to talk about this, and we have to understand that this is usually the least talked about person of the Trinity. For some reason, it's just something we don't tend to talk about a lot. But we're going to spend a few weeks doing so. And it also is the most misunderstood or misinterpreted part of Scripture, of who the Holy Spirit is. What happens is two things. One is the Spirit is over-exalted, or it's under-exalted. One or the other. Over-exalted tends to be where we treat Him as something that stands alone. The Holy Spirit is something that's all on its own, and that it is not connected to the Trinity at all, not connected to Jesus or the Father, that it's all about the Spirit. And typically the way you would hear this in churches that are over sort of misunderstanding and over-exalting the Spirit is you hear it and said things like, okay, is your church filled with the Spirit? Right? Or are they saved by the Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? Versus understanding that God's command is you baptize in what? The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. See, this is all about the Spirit and nothing else. It's devoid of rest of the Trinity. They almost forget about Jesus and forget about the Father at all. And in this place, what tends to happen is is it tends to be more of a show than anything else. As people speak in tongues and it's not interpreted, or as we rely on the Spirit to give us the show and not really understand what's going on. But sometimes we have churches that are the exact opposite, that are devoid of the Spirit at all. Devoid of the understanding of what is the Spirit doing among us. It's really talking about God the Father and Jesus, and the Spirit is hardly ever talked about or referred to. That there's really not any Spirit anywhere in what they do. And there's many Lutheran churches, I believe, that are in that place, where everything's about Jesus, which is a good thing, don't get me wrong, but we also have to understand that there is the Spirit that God gives us, and the Spirit is alive, and the Spirit is there, and we have to understand that it truly is the Trinity, which is the next slide I need. Alex, if you can move that forward. The Trinity is this image. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but it's a good way for us to understand what the Trinity is, right? The Trinity is what we believe in, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as you look at this, what you truly see is that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Spirit is God. Right? But the Father is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father. It is three persons in one entity.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah is right, but I don't understand that fully, do you? I mean, and we will not understand this side of heaven. It is something that we take in faith, and we understand that Scripture speaks this way. We understand that this is what it is, that we believe, we confess in our creeds, we believe in the triune God. We do that all the time, but yet fully understanding this, we can't do. I mean, there are all kinds of analogies that are in place that suggest that you can understand it, like ice. Anybody ever hear that one? Holy Spirit is like ice, because when it's really cold, it lets off the steam, and yet it's water, but yet it's hard. Or an apple, you've got the skin on the outside and the meat and then the core, but all of them fall apart at some point. They're not right. Somehow it's just not there. And triune, we get tri meaning three, un meaning oneness, the triune God, that they're together, that they are one, but yet they are three separate persons. And how you can get your head around that, it's hard. It's hard. But this is what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches that this is the case. And by the way, all three of those were there at creation. All three of them were there at Jesus' death. All three of them are here in his church. See, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, which is the next slide, Alex, is actually vital to Christian teaching. It's interconnected into every doctrine that we have. We can't forget about the Holy Spirit. It's one person of the Trinity, and the key understanding that you get here is this, that the Holy Spirit is the God that we worship. Do you get that? The Holy Spirit, because it is part of the Trinity, is the God we worship. So we can't separate it and say that it is not God. It truly is God. And many of us find it very hard to conceptualize the Holy Spirit, though. Jesus is fairly easy, right? Because we can look at Jesus and we see the human Jesus, and we know that that's Jesus Christ. God the Father, well, we think of parenting as the Father. And what does it look like as a father parents his children? We can sort of put some skin and flesh and understanding of what that is. But when we hear that the Holy Spirit is a spirit, it's hard for us to truly grasp that and understand what that truly means. That's one reason why it's so hard. But one verse can actually help us out, and this is Luke chapter 3. And we read this. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Now, the first thing I want you to understand from this is you see all three persons of the Trinity and active in this verse, right? Jesus is getting baptized. The Holy Spirit is descending on him. And then ultimately what? The Father says, "In him I am well pleased." All three of the Trinity is there active and functioning right there within those verses. It's important for us to understand. But also the key thing here is, if it helps you at all, the Holy Spirit is depicted as a dove many times. As a dove, a white dove descending on someone. There's a picture of that right there. This can sometimes help us understand what we're talking about, is that the dove is descending on Jesus as the Holy Spirit is coming upon him. And so here we see all three acting. And it's interesting because Jesus is being obedient, the Spirit is descending on him, and ultimately the voice of the Father is stating that I am well pleased in him. All three of the Trinity being active. See, the Holy Spirit is God, and that's something we truly need to understand. That truly we're talking not about something that is out there that's different, but truly that the Holy Spirit is God. And it's not some vague or generic force. It's not an energy or an emotion. That it truly is not these things that we tend to think it is. How many of us like Star Wars in here? I do, right? I love the talk of the Force, right? The Force be with you. Boy, that sounds like it could be the Spirit, right? You know, you got the dark side and the, what? Dark side and the light, right? Okay. The light sure sounds like it could be the Holy Spirit, right? Some vague force that is out there. And people tend to mix this together and think that it's true. But that's not the case. The Spirit is not some vague or generic force or some power or energy that we tend to tap into when we want to. That's not what it is. It's not a thing or an object. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. He's not just a teammate or a sidekick that we walk around with. I think of him as a coach. There was a coach I had, and when I was in college, Coach Staley was his name. And he had his office open all the time when he was our track coach, and he was one of the best coaches I think I've ever had. And what made him such a great coach, though, was that you could go and talk to him about anything. And so people would go and talk to him before they decided on their schedule for the semester. And guess what they would do? Say, Coach, here's the classes I need to take. What do you think? And he'd tell them what he thought. And then people would go off and sign up for those classes. Coach, you know, I'm having trouble with my girlfriend. What do you think I should do? He'd have his door open and sit down and talk with them and go. It wasn't the kind of thing where people would go off and get their schedule and then come to him later and say, hey, my schedule's a mess. Can you help me? That's sort of what we do with the Holy Spirit, though, isn't it? We tend to go off and make decisions in our lives without consulting anything beforehand. And we tend to go off and make decisions, and then when things get messed up, we tend to come back and say, you know, Holy Spirit, help me here. What am I going to do now? See, that's not who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit has an identity. He's knowable, something you and I can know and understand, and he reveals himself to us in Scripture. And here's some of the things we have to know about him, his names and titles, which is the next slide we have. First of all, the Holy Trinity is one God. He's one God. He's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of the Father is what we're told. See, that joins it all together with the Trinity, doesn't it? It's not something that's separate. His character is clear. He's the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. You can see that from the Spirit comes all of these things, the truth, life, and also wisdom and revelation. And Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Helper. I mean, also called the Counselor or Comforter or Paraclete, who will guide and bless us. See, that's who the Spirit is. And the amazing thing about the Spirit is this, that as you hear his character, you hear these things about him, is that that means that God is always with you. Isn't that a good news? God is always with you. And God is with you in the Holy Spirit who is alive in you. You heard me talk about this in Galatians chapter 2:20, right? As we talked about sacramental life, as God lives in us. Well, the Spirit is what is alive in us. The Spirit is alive in you and me. When we become believers, the Spirit is in us at that point, and the Spirit is the one who lives in us. And so everywhere we go, the Spirit is with us. And by the way, if we say the Spirit with us and the Spirit is God, guess what we're saying? God is with us, and God is in us. Everywhere that we go, every place we go, everything we do, God is with us. Isn't that amazing? So God with us means you will never be alone. God with us means no matter what situation you're in, guess what? God is right there with you. What this means is no matter what decision you have to make, guess what? God's right there helping you make that decision. No matter where you go, no matter how fearful that may be for you, no matter how scared you are with what you're doing, guess what? God is there with you because the Spirit is alive in you. I mean, that's good news, right? I mean, that's good news to know that God is always with me, no matter what. And He is always wanting to be there as my coach. Someone that I go to say, what should I be doing? What do I do? Not make the decision because that's what I want. Then at the end of the day, go back to God and say, it didn't work out. Now God save me, which is the way we tend to work. The Holy Spirit has divine attributes as well. This is how we know that the Trinity is also God, right? But also that the Holy Spirit is God. He's always described with attributes and characteristics that belong to God alone. He's omnipresent, He's everywhere, as we read in Psalm 139. He's omniscient, knowing everything, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He's omnipotent, He's all-powerful as well, as we read in Luke chapter 1. He's eternal, unlimited by time. He was there at the creation, and He's been there ever since, and He will always be as well. He can be sinned against, we heard. In Matthew as well, it says that the greatest sin is the sin against what? The Holy Spirit. And He was active in creation. As it says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth while it was being created. And He is active in salvation as well. He is the one that through the Scriptures works faith in us. And He is the one that doesn't leave us there but helps us get through salvation as well. And today we're going to look at these verses from Galatians chapter 5 because it really helps us understand what the Spirit is all about. Would you read this with me? But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sexuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Great words, aren't they? I mean, as you look at what this says in Galatians, it gives us a clear picture, I believe, as we start looking at the Spirit, of what the Spirit is there to do for us. See, if we understand that the Spirit is alive in you and me, that it's living in us, that it is no longer Christ who lives, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, right? That the Spirit is alive in us, then ultimately he's telling us that in Galatians that we should walk by the Spirit. Why? So that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, we are still sinners, right? We are still in our fleshly conditions. And the challenge for us is how do we live our lives to live our lives more towards the love of God and more towards the love that God has for us and to be his representatives in the world. And what we tend to want to do is get caught up in all the things of our flesh, which are the things that he lays out here. All the things of sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, all those. Those are things that because of our sinful nature that is in us, we get caught up in all the time. And it's easy for us to. But here we read that if we walk by the Spirit, that you will not gratify those desires at all. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the Spirit, it says, what? Is against the flesh as well. For they oppose each other. And there's this tension that we live with. And those of you who have been in my Bible study, you've heard me talk about this tension that is in our lives all the time. There's always a tension that is there between a saint and a sinner, between us living with the Spirit or living with our flesh. It's a constant struggle that we're in. But here we learn more and more that if we truly understand who the Spirit is, it's the power of God in us. That the power of God in us can help us walk by the Spirit. So we don't go into those areas. But yet, what do? We live in the fruit of the Spirit. That through the Spirit being alive in us, we can more and more and more live into the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. And it tells us at the end of these verses that if you belong to Jesus Christ, that you have crucified the flesh with all of its passions and desires. Isn't that great? That because Jesus is in you, and because you have been crucified with him, all of those passions and desires, they've been crucified. They've been put to death. But if we live by the Spirit, we have to keep step with the Spirit. I saw someone actually do this just the other day, give a little devotion on how this works. And being in step with someone, I think of those marching in the army, right? And when you're in step with someone, what are you doing? Usually right beside them, marching along. Everything's going in the same direction. Everything's happening at the same time. And you're in tune with that person, right? What tends to happen is we get out of step. We either tend to go ahead of the Spirit, and then what happens at that point? We're out of step, and we're looking back trying to see what the Spirit wants us to do, but we've already done it. And that's when we tend to go back and say, God, I've messed up my life. What do I do? Or sometimes we're behind the Spirit. And the Spirit's marching along in front of us, and at that point, they're telling us what to do, but we're not listening. Why? Because when you're behind someone, can you hear them very well? No, you can't. But when you're right next to someone, and you're in tune with them, and you're marching with them, guess what? You can hear them, right? And the greatest thing is, all it takes is a whisper, and you know where God's leading. See, that's how we're meant to walk with the Spirit. We're not meant to make decisions on our own. We're not meant to decide what I feel is right for me. We're not meant to make decisions that I just think is the right thing at this point. No, what we're meant to do is actually listen to the Spirit. Listen to the guiding of the Spirit. And understand where the Spirit is leading us. And based on that, then we make our decisions as we go forward. Continue to walk in the Spirit. Understanding that God has saved you and God will help you live saved. God will help you live saved. See, God got you to salvation. It was all God's work that brought you to the point where you could confess him as Lord and Savior. And he will help get you through salvation in this life, all by the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what is there alive in us that helps carry us from the point of when God comes to save us to the point when he calls us home to be with him. That's the Holy Spirit that keeps us there in the faith as we walk in step with him. So as we learn more and more about the Holy Spirit, I pray that you will understand how important this is, that the Spirit is alive in us, and that is great news because you will never be alone. And you always have that coach that is with you, wanting to help you in your life. May that encourage you, may that empower you, and may that bring you courage to go forth and live the love of Jesus each and every day. It is in his name and to his glory we pray. Amen. Would you bow your heads and pray? Dear gracious Lord, we are so thankful for the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough. But truly, Lord, as we know, and we've learned today that truly, Lord, the Holy Spirit is God. That, Lord, all of the attributes, all of the characteristics of who God is who the Spirit is. And that, Lord, you have given that Spirit to live in us. Which means, Lord, you as God are with us each and every day. We are so thankful for that, Lord, because, Lord, we need help in this life. We need help to live as you wish us to live. We need help as we go through all the minefields of this world and this culture so that, Lord, we can live as you've called us to live so that our lives more follow and are in step with where you wish them to be. So, Lord, let the Spirit talk to us more. Let us hear it more. And, Lord, help us to truly live the love of Jesus each and every day. So, Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.